जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారీ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotrashadashri Shriman Abhicharanaravindam Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharashila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Nitulila Pravishta Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Ashtotrashadashri Shriman Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharashila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Gaudiya Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Zahu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinatha Shyama Gunda Radha Gulagiri Govardhama Ki Vrindavan Dhama Ki Mayapur Dhama Ki Madhuraburi Dhama Ki Jagannathpuri Dhama Ki Gauragapuri Dhama Ki Gangamayi Ki Yamunamayi Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki Gaur Premanam All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guru. All glories to Shri Prabhupada, Shri Shri Nitai Sachinanda Ki Jai Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chinki Jai. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യയതോന്വയാദിഗരദസ് ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മ ഹൃദ യാ ആദി കവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സുരയാഃ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭിഃ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭിഃ തൽക്ഷണാനി നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാതമൃഗം ദ്രവസയുധം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഹുരഹോ രസിക ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേദം അപേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയാ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനി ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവം അഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിതിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി മുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയൻ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃദാനനിന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന് കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭീ നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമി ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ
സോ by Krishna's grace and all by the mercy of all the devotees who are here today, we are getting another opportunity to talk from Srimad Bhagavatam again. And this Srimad Bhagavatam, compared to every other scripture, and particularly among the Vedic literature, it has been given a special position, because for ages, since departure, Krishna's departure from this planet, which was roughly 5,000 years ago, that from then on till today, it has inspired devotees to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And it has to be understood that this desire to study Srimad Bhagavatam, where does that come from? Actually, it comes from Krishna himself, because when somebody is seriously searching for Krishna, Krishna left behind a system in this world whereby one can approach him. And that was the words Krishna himself spoke to through Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled, his intention was Not that it was another book he wrote, just like so many other books he compiled, like Mahabharata and several other Puranas. But Srimad Bhagavatam has, actually the intention was to present the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And through Srimad Bhagavatam, he wanted to present what is known as Bhagavad Dharmam, or in English it is translated as Krishna Consciousness. So this Bhagavata Dharmam, which is mentioned as, it is so many dharmas at the time, particularly when Bhishma was leaving this planet. I think it was on the 56th day of the battle, that in Kurukshetra, Bhishma Pitamaha was lying on the bed of arrows. And to that location, Krishna, Pandavas and all the other great sages who were prompted by the arrangement of Krishna has prompted them from within, that they all moved to see Bhishma Pitamaha. And Bhishma Pitamaha spoke at length, at a very, very long lecture he gave to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Now, we have to understand the background behind this also, that why Krishna came to see Bhishma Pitamaha. Bhishma Pitamaha was a great devotee of Krishna. Not only that, if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there that that photograph also is reflecting that prayers of Bhishma Pitamaha. That Bhishma Pitamaha said to Krishna that although the whole life I have been with the Kauravas and was fighting against you and the Pandavas, at the time of departure you should be present yourself before me so that I may see you and leave this world. And this prayer was in Krishna's mind all the time. And in the Bhagavatam you will see there that after the war was over, after the Mahabharata war, Yudhishthira Maharaj felt a very disturbing situation in his mind. This disturbing situation has happened because if one gets involved in sinful life too much, according to the Vedic literature, that fear of sinful life will follow you afterwards. That is a natural philosophy. It's a natural phenomenon. We can understand that also. That Papa Bhiti, it is referred to in the Bhagavatam as Papa Bhiti. Papa Bhiti means the fear that pursues one after it has been performed, of sinful life or any sinful activity. After the war was over, Yudhishthira Maharaj thought himself that why did all this war happen? What did I gain from this war? This thought occurred to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Not only that the thought occurred to him, initially he started feeling a little bit concerned about Krishna. That he was even thinking that Krishna is the cause of all these problems. To such an extent he analyzed this. In his own mind he did this. But when he did that, initially he didn't speak about this to anybody. But slowly it has started coming out in the house, and he started telling to Arjuna and Bhima that I have told Krishna before, when he went to negotiate peace, that he should sort this out. But what did he do? He came back and created a bigger scene than what I was expected. This is what in Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind. So the younger brothers, Arjuna and Bhima, told Yudhishthira Maharaj, don't speak about Krishna like that, because he was his elder brother, and they all had great respect for Yudhishthira Maharaj. They respected him in all aspects, because till after Pandu's departure, King Pandu's departure, he was the person who brought them up and showed all affection to them as the eldest brother in the family. So there was a natural respect for Yudhishthira Maharaj from Bhimasena and from Arjuna. And when Yudhishthira started speaking like this, it automatically hurt them very much. And Krishna was aware of what was being spoken. So one day, Arjuna went up to Krishna and told him that my elder brother Yudhishthira is talking like this, that you did not do a very good job with the peace negotiations with the Kauravas. And what do I suppose to do now? Because he is feeling it very bad. Krishna said to him, don't worry about it too much. It will be sorted out in course of time. This was Krishna's words at that point. So Krishna said this to Arjuna, but he didn't get sorted out. On the other hand, it got worse from then. So one day, Arjuna suggested to Krishna that why don't you speak to him Bhagavad Gita again? Because you spoke to me Bhagavad Gita in the battle when I was distressed, when I was in a frustrated situation. And when you spoke to me Bhagavad Gita, I was relieved from my distress and I got back into a normal situation. So when Arjuna suggested this, Krishna also said, I have no problem talking to him about Bhagavad Gita again. So a second time, Bhagavad Gita was again spoken. And this time, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned, precisely it doesn't say that Bhagavad Gita, but it was exactly the same knowledge what was given to Arjuna before in the battlefield that Krishna spoke again. And this time, all the great sages were present, and in the assembly of the Yudhishthira Maharaj's assembly, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke again. But Yudhishthira heard everything, and he slept off. He didn't even hear what Krishna was speaking. So after whatever Krishna has spoken, Yudhishthira woke up after everything was over, and he said, have you finished now what you are about to say? This was Yudhishthira's words to Arjuna Krishna. So in the Bhagavatam, Sri Shukan says about this, Krishnair Arbhuta Karmana. Arbhuta Karma, Krishna is an Arbhuta Karma, because two brothers, they had same distress. And the same medicine was given to both of them. It worked on one person, it didn't work on the other. Just see how the ways Krishna has planned things. And nobody knew what Krishna's plans were at that point. So at that point, when nothing happened, Krishna said to Arjuna that it may be better that we take him to Bhishma. Let Bhishma speak to him, he will understand better, rather than me telling him. And it was on that point that Krishna decided to go to visit Bhishma Pitamaha. At that point, even Yudhishthira was not aware that Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows. He has completely forgotten about that. And he got so wild with Krishna at that point and said to him that, did you not try to get him killed as well in the war? Did you not kill him in the war? Bhishma was informed at that time that he was waiting for Uttarayanam to come, the auspicious period to leave the body, and he is still lying there. And Yudhishthira was very pleased to go back to Bhishma Pitamaha, and from there a number of instructions came out. So those instructions, which is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Bhishma Stuti, and in that true Bhishma Stuti, Bhishma expressed his mind to Maharaj Yudhishthira and to all the other sages who were present there, and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So what we see from Mahabharata is that in this situation, when all the devotees are present there, Krishna asked Yudhishthira Maharaj to ask Bhishma about different types of dharmas. So you will see in the Mahabharata, there is a series of dharmas which were discussed by Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhishma, and in that, Bhagavad Dharma was also mentioned. But Bhagavad Dharma is something which requires a much more detailed discussion. And when Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he was very much aware, and he told Sri Narada Maharshi also, that although I have included Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness along with so many other dharma, what was included in Mahabharata, I did not give enough importance to Bhagavad Dharma, and therefore Sri Narada Maharshi told Vedavyasa Maharshi that you should compile a separate book only simply explaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and this process of Krishna consciousness. And that is how Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Sri Narada Maharshi's special instructions to Vedavyasa Maharshi at that point was that in that book, in Srimad Bhagavatam, you should only cover only that relationship between the devotee and the Supreme Lord and the process of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness was explained in Srimad Bhagavatam by Vedavyasa Maharshi, and he presented that. And at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll also find there is another interesting aspect of it, is that all the other Puranas, Upanishads, or even Brahma Sutra talks about liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't speak about liberation. That is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. One who has studied Srimad Bhagavatam and one who has accepted Srimad Bhagavatam wholeheartedly, he would not look for liberation, because when at the assembly of the Suta Goswami and all the other great sages who were present in Naimisharanyam, at the last minute when the Supreme Personality of God had arrived there, Krishna arrived there, the sages did not ask for liberation. That's the beauty of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhave bhave yadha bhakti padayo stava jayade tada kurushva devesha madhastvam no yadha prabhum. Bhave bhave yadha bhakti, that their desire was that birth after birth, even if they have to take birth, they should only have the opportunity, padayo stava jayade, that they were able to serve Krishna and Krishna's lotus feet all the time. Natastamno yada prabho. There was no other desire that was left in their heart. Nama sangirtanam yasya sarvabhava pranashanam pranamo dukkashamanam tam namami harim param. That this process of Krishna consciousness, if it is taken seriously, it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, sarvabhava pranashanam, that because all the sinful activities what we have performed in this life and in our past life, which is following us all the time, making us to, generating new bodies to us birth after birth, these things are wiped out by the process of chanting the holy name of Krishna. That is the beauty and the strength of the holy name of Krishna. So Bhagavatam confirms this at the time of the closure of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, we go back a few hundred years in the history, that you will see that when the Vedic culture was very, very strong, or the Brahminical culture existed very strongly, at that time, the system was that the learned scholars of Brahmanas, they never wasted their time in pursuing any other happiness in this world. Their happiness was based on advancing in Krishna consciousness. And we will see from the history that if you go back about 300 or 400 years ago, that instances where great scholars of Brahmanas, Brahminical culture, they cultured Srimad Bhagavatam to such an extent that they were able to relate with Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only that, in return, that the amount of devotion they had developed within their heart for the Supreme Lord, in return from Krishna's side, Krishna wanted them to speak to Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is also there in the recorded history. Many of the great commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam has come out because of this interaction between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. About 400 years ago, two Brahmanas, very, very learned scholars, learned means those days all the Brahmanas were learned. Today none of them are, but those days everyone was learned, because in the Vedic system, they give so much importance to learning. Learning means pursuit of knowledge, not the type of knowledge what we pay and get from the university today. That was not considered as knowledge then. The knowledge of those days was considered that knowledge which will take him back to his constitutional original position of the, or pursuing the absolute truth. That was considered to be knowledge. Today's knowledge is something what you can buy from, by paying. But this is not considered any, what they say in the Vedic literature, there is a reference to it. It says like this. Ahara nidra pashumaidhi namcha samanya medal pashubhil naranam dharmehi tejo adhyam vishesho dharmena hina pashutulya cheshtaha. That aharam nidra bhayam and maithunam, eating, sleeping, sex life and defense, samanya medal pashubhil naranam, for it is common in all the species of life, whether it is animals or human society. Dharma hitejam adhigo vishesho. But what is so special about this human life is dharmena hina pashutulya cheshtaha. That if one does not have dharma, or one does not follow the path of spiritual life in one's own life, then he is considered to be no better than an animal. Pashutulya cheshta. Pashu is an animal, and equally his cheshta. Cheshta means his activities are not different than the animal. So therefore, one who is serious about spiritual life, he can see that this pursuit of spiritual knowledge is such a valuable thing in life, and that is not to be given up at any time. Even though in different situations, due to our own prarabdha karma or some reason or the other, we have been put into different situations in this world. Sometimes it may not be very favorable. But in spite of that, the Vedic injunction is that as soon as you get a human form of body, and as soon as one has come to his one's own senses, he should pursue the ultimate truth at any cost. So, two Brahmanas who have been very much trained in that way, they pursued the spiritual life so strongly. And it so happened that one Brahmana chose, as we said before, that when Bhishma Pitamaha was explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he gave instructions of the 1,000 names of Vishnu to be chanted. This Vishnu's 1,000 names, which is known as the Vishnu Sahasranamam, or 1,000 names of Vishnu, he is capable for great brahmanas to study, chant them, and recite them regular basis. And one of these brahmanas took to this very, very seriously. He took the thousand names of Vishnu or Vishnu Sahasranama very, very seriously. And this Vishnu Sahasranama was spoken by Bhishma Pitamaha himself to Yudhishthira Maharaj in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So it has very special significance. And one of the questions Yudhishthira asked was, Kim Yavannuchade Jandur Janmasam Sarabandhanal. Look at Yudhishthira Maharaj's intelligence. Such a great emperor is asking this question. What should one chant whereby one can free oneself from the clutches of death? This was his question. Will any king ask that question today, or will any of the prime minister or presidents ask such a question today? So you can see that the consciousness, depending on the time in this world, Kadayugam Kridam Treta Dwabaram Kali, the four different yugas. And as we come down in the lower, to the lower grades of to the time which is known as this Kali Yuga, our consciousness is actually degraded, that we cannot even ask an intelligent question. This is our situation today. We are so much unfortunate, as Bhagavatam says also, that we have lost that understanding of spiritual life, we have lost the understanding of spiritual culture. We have simply more or less fallen into the level of pashus or animals. But that is not that, it is trying to tell us that, not that in the bodily shape we are like animals. It doesn't mean like that. Uddhava, when speaking to Krishna, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, Shokhara Javal, that is a word he has used. Shoava means dog, Khara means asses, and Ajam means goats. Shokhara Javal, why are they acting like this? Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. Krishna said to them, now, if you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this reference to human society as Shokhara Javal, Uddhava was asking in the context that the, not based on the body that we are like that, but in consciousness we are very much similar to these animals. Why? That question comes then. Now, if you see in the olden times, or even today also, in some places, when the goats are maintained at home by some householder, after some time the goats are no use to, they're not giving milk, or they want to sell it off. When they want to sell these goats, he will sell it to an agent, and this agent will sell it to a butcher, and butcher will kill the goat at the end. So this is how that transaction takes place. So the butcher won't buy this goat directly from the householder. He will buy through a middleman who buys the goat from the householder. And the householder, when he sells the goat, the middleman comes and he negotiates the deal and he takes the goat away from home. When that man comes and he takes the goat away from home, the goat knows, or the animal knows very well that he is going to be slaughtered. He is aware of that. And he will be crying as well at that time. But even while going to get killed, he is still looking, can I find something to eat before I go? This is the thought that is going through that goat's head. Now, Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, that if in human society also, that they all very well know that they're going to be slaughtered one day by the laws of nature, or in other words, death is waiting behind us every moment. And it can happen any time, whether we like it or we don't like it, it can happen any time. But even then, although that is what is waiting before us, still our mind is looking towards how I can feel, be happy in this world. This thought is coming back to us again and again. So, therefore, Uddhava referred to us as Shokhara Javal, Shoava, dog or Karam, asses or Ajam, goats. Shokhara Javal. So, Krishna said to Uddhava that these mentality of trying to be happy in this world is not a very good one, because when that consciousness develops to a larger degree, material consciousness builds up so strongly that one does not want to take to spiritual life anymore. And that is what we find also, that when the attachment for enjoyment and the attachment for feeling happiness in this world increases, then automatically one tries to adjust to so many things in this world and forgets about spiritual life. So anyway, these two brahmanas, one of them who was very much trained. They were by nature very austere, performed severe penances, and they were so serious in Krishna consciousness that they could not afford to waste their time getting up from 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, right up to 9, 10 o'clock. They were engaged in Krishna service, not only physically, mentally also. So this is how they strengthen their Krishna consciousness. And that culture has gone today. It is not there anymore because of the social changes. But anyway, when we look at their life, you will find this one of the brahmanas, he learned these 1,000 names of Vishnu and he took it so much into his heart, he decided to chant them regularly. So he kept on chanting them one after the other, all the 1,000 names. One after the other, he kept repeating them. And the other brahmana, who was also a scholar, he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam at that time. And they were present in front of the deity and they were listening. One was reciting Bhagavatam, another one was reciting the 1,000 names of Vishnu, Vishnu Sahasranamam. So these were regular scene in the temple. And along with so many other brahmanas who were also chanting the Vedic mantras and who were also glorifying Krishna in different way. But between these two brahmanas, they were virtually so surrendered in their life, and with their simplicity in their heart and their fixed up mind and devotion to Krishna, they have developed that attitude that they will serve Krishna with all their strength in this life. And they were so conscious of death approaching any time, and that seriousness in spiritual life was giving them so much strength. This is Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture means that strength in spiritual life and not being attracted or carried away by the worldly influences. So anyway, this brahmana kept continuing chanting this 1,000 names of Vishnu. So this name, when they start chanting, Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro Bhuda Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Bhuda Gral Bhuda Grad Bhavo Bhudatma Bhuda Bhavanaha Avyaya Purusha Sakshi Kshetra Yochara Evacha Yogo Yoga Vidameda Pradhana Purusheshwaraha Narasimha Vabho Shriman Keshava Purushottamaha Sarvam Sharva Shivastanor Bhuda Dharnitiravyaha Sambhavo Bhavano Varta Prabhava Prabhurishwaraha Swayam Bhushambhuraditya Pushkaracho Mahaswanaha Anadinidhano Dhadha Vidhadha Dhadaruttamaha Aprameyo Hrishikesha Palmanaho Mara Prabhu. When he reached this point, the other brahmana who was listening to that, this happened after several years of chanting. The other brahmana who was listening to that mentioned to him, to this brahmana, that you are chanting it in the wrong way. Your pronunciation is not correct. He said, Palmanabho Madaprabhu. This is what he said. Now, if you analyze that word, Palmanabha is Krishna. Madaprabhu means the Lord of all the trees. Actually, that particular word, the way it was broken was, it should have been Palmanabhu Amaraprabhu. Amaraprabhu means he is the master of all the deathless persons who have already liberated. That's what actually it meant. But this brahmana, because he did not have that, develop that fineness in his language, that he was continuously chanting this Palmanabhu Amaraprabhu. So in reality, Krishna is the master of all the trees as well. Everything after all is Krishna's wealth. But in the original Sahasranamam, it is Palmanabhu Amaraprabhu. So when this was chanted like that, the other brahmana corrected him that what he have said is wrong. Suddenly, this first brahmana who was chanting these 1,000 names, he felt very, very, very disturbed in his mind because two reasons. Number one, first, I have called Krishna something what he is not. This thought has come to his mind and disturbed him so much. Secondly, for so many years, I have been chanting these 1,000 names. And out of that, one name has gone wrong. Which means all that what I have done has gone wasted. He felt this. This brahmana felt it so strongly that he looked towards the deity and tears started coming from his eyes. He could not bear the mistake what he has committed, that he has called the Supreme Lord Krishna as Maraprabhu. It should have been Amaraprabhu. But on the other hand, he also felt that all my effort for so many years has just been wasted. So you can imagine a person's disappointment then after 20 years or 30 years in spiritual life, suddenly he realizes that all my spiritual life was a waste of time, or if some realization comes like that, how he would feel it. So this is exactly what happened. From inside the deity room, Krishna could not bear that. Krishna heard this and he immediately replied back from inside. He called the other Brahmana and said to him, "Do you not know that I am Maraprabhu as well? Not only Maraprabhu, I am Maraprabhu as well." So when this reply came back from the temple room, from inside, when Krishna answered back this way, the first Brahmana felt a little unhappy, because he was a scholar who corrected this person, the Brahmana who was chanting the thousand names. And the both were scholars, but one was a much more advanced scholar, in the sense that Krishna is actually Maraprabhu also. Krishna is Amaraprabhu as well as Maraprabhu. So, have I done something seriously wrong? He said to himself. So, he couldn't sleep that night. And the other Brahmana continued his service, and he continued serving, chanting it correctly from then on. Eventually, he gave up his life and he went back to the spiritual world. But the first Brahmana who took to Srimad Bhagavatam, he felt that he has committed an offense to Krishna by correcting the other Brahmana. So it was at that point that he went back to his bed that night, and somewhere in the late in the night, while he was fast asleep, Krishna arrived there to see him. And he told him, in the sleep, it was through the dreams all these things were happening, he told him that what you have corrected him, I didn't have any objection to that, but I didn't like that devotee getting hurt in his mind. Because what we have to realize is that when a devotee is hurt, Krishna is hurt more than the devotee. This is the important thing we have to learn, that Krishna feels the pain of a devotee. We think that Krishna doesn't understand our pain. Actually, Krishna feels our pain much more than a devotee feels himself. And he does not like this, that when a devotee is put into a difficult situation, that Krishna feels that it is his sometimes Krishna has to come out openly and do something about it, and Krishna does that. But quite often, due to our own ignorance, sometimes we analyze situations in such a way that I have been worshipping Krishna so many years, I've been going to see the deity in the temple, I've been chanting Hare Krishna, I've been studying Srimad Bhagavatam, I've been associating with devotees, I've done so many things, but now nothing is working, nothing is happening to me. Why is this like that? No, it is not true. The Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to this, Vedavyasa Maharshi has given certain very, very, very strong indications that a devotee who has surrendered to Krishna and who has accepted Krishna as wholeheartedly in his life, he does not owe anybody to anyone, anything to anyone. Tektva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakveta padeta dhoyadi yatra kava bhadrama bhudamushyakim kovartayapto bhajadam swadharmada. That Vedavyasa Maharshi was asking Srinarada Muni, before writing Srimad Bhagavatam, a question, that what is the obligation of a person who has taken shelter of Krishna? Srinarada Maharshi told him, Tiktva swadharmam charanambujam hare, that even if you have given up everything in this world, suppose you have so many commitments to the family, society, friends, this, that, whatever you name of, even if you have given up all those relation commitments to all those so-called obligations, self-created duties as Prabhupada calls them, even if you have given up all that, Tektva swadharmam charanambujam hare, If you have taken the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, bhajanna pakveda pade tadho yadi, that even if you fall from that position, by some reason or the other, due to some bad influence or unfortunate circumstances, yatra kava bhadrama bhudamushyakim kovartayapto bhajadam swadharmatam, that there is no loss. This is what Sri Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyasa Muni, that even if that happens, what to speak, if it didn't happen, it is nice. But even if by some reason, if that happens, it is not considered to be a loss. Because that what has been acquired through spiritual life or practicing Krishna consciousness is never a loss. That travels with that person wherever he goes, even after leaving the body, that goes with him. And this is the considered opinion of all the great authorities in spiritual life, especially the great acharyas, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka Swami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have all accepted that this one thing, that what is acquired through spiritually as a gain, is a gain forever. It is never a loss. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vedavyasa Maharshi offered to Sri Narada Muni, that Sri Narada Maharshi offered to Vedavyasa Muni, Vedavyasa Maharshi was totally aware that Krishna consciousness has to be presented in this world in a way that can be understood by the common person. And when he comes to next week, when we celebrate the appearance day of Prahlad and appearance day of Narasimhadev, we have to remember certain background of this whole seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. While Vedavyasa Maharshi was instructed to write Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Narada Maharshi went back to Sri C. Narayana Maharshi in Badri Ashram, Vedavyasa Maharshi was in his ashram, and which was different from the Narayana Maharshi's ashram, and Vedavyasa Maharshi was writing Srimad Bhagavatam. But while leaving, she told Narada Muni that you should come sometime and make sure yourself sure that I am doing the thing correctly. So Narada Muni said to Vedavyasa Maharshi, I will make sure that I will come and see you sometime when I find it is necessary. Vedavyasa Muni continued writing. And when after the fifth canto, where you will find that the end of fifth canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shugan was saying to Parikshit Maharaj, all the hellish planets in the creation. So when all these hellish planets explanation was given to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit got very disturbed in his mind, because he was such a noble personality, Parikshit Maharaj, and he had been so fortunate. Krishna had decided to introduce Srimad Bhagavatam to this world through him. That was his greatest fortune. And this Parikshit Maharaj was thinking, I was the grandson of Arjuna, such a great devotee of Krishna. And I was born as in the same family of Kunti Devi. And my ancestors were such noble personalities. And what did I do? I went and took that dead snake and threw it at the sage's neck. And here I am sitting here listening to all about these hellish planets, what is waiting there, where will I be going? This is the thought what has occurred to Parikshit's mind. So it was at that time that Sri Shugan decided to speak about the sixth canto. Sixth canto is presented because after the hellish planets, Parikshit Maharaj's mind was going a little bit shaky, because he knew the time was running out. There's only 3 or 4 days left by then. And already he was experiencing tremendous stress in his mind that this is going to happen to him, that and all these hellish planets explanation in the Bhagavatam, if you read, that you will be amazed that such a punishment can happen to a living entity. But it was not written just for the sake of a novel sake, but it was written only to understand the living entity, that any sinful activities what we perform, we have to pay for it, no matter who it is. So Parikshit Maharaj, in that mood, Vedavyasa Maharshi decided to present the story of Ajamila to him. It was for this reason that the sixth canto of the story of Ajamila was brought straight in front of Parikshit Maharaj immediately at that spot. Because he knew, Sri Shugan was aware that Parikshit Maharaj was going to a difficult time in his own consciousness. So it's not that devotees are not disturbed. The devotees do get disturbed often. But the difference is, when a devotee is disturbed, Krishna makes arrangement that somebody is there to give him the right advice also, which direction to go. Normally, in all of us, there are two sides acting. We can see that very clearly. If one is conscious of it and watchful of that, you can notice that also. Supreme Person, Krishna, has two sides in him. One is the form of knowledge and the other is the side of ignorance. Both knowledge and ignorance is coming from Krishna. Vidya, Vidya Swarupani, both Vidya and Avidya is coming from Krishna. When Krishna is acting favorably, all the thoughts and the decisions what we make about spiritual life will go in the right direction. Our mind will not get disturbed, we'll be more fixed up in the spiritual path. But when avidya or ignorant side is acting strongly in us, all the activities, our activities also will be more destructive, which will not be very conducive for spiritual life. This is the way Krishna functions. So in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find in the third canto is talking about sargam and the fourth canto is visargam. Why these two cantos have come some closer? That is also we have to look at. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that Lord Brahma's creation is taking place one after the other. And throughout the third canto, everywhere Brahma is taking shelter of Krishna in all instances. So third canto is teaching us that if one engages in activities completely taking shelter of Krishna, the chances of him getting misguided and doing activities which are against the Vedic injunctions is very little, that he will act in the proper way. But all these incidents, what is mentioned in the third canto, refers to this one point, which is known as sargam. Sargam means creation with Krishna's approval, or Krishna behind you. When Krishna is behind you, everything what you do, go in the right direction. When Krishna is not behind you, everything will go wrong. And that is what the fourth canto is telling us. In fourth canto, if you take and look at all the stories in the fourth canto, every single one of them is teaching us one point, that you try to do things without Krishna in life, your life is going to be in danger. And that is what the message is pointing out. So this third canto and the fourth canto, sargam and visargam, are kept close by to tell us, in one side, you stay with Krishna and Krishna will provide you the right intelligence to act in the right direction. You stay out of Krishna, everything what you try to do on your own, you will not be successful, or not only that you will not be successful, sometimes it can cause tremendous distress at a later time. So Bhagavatam is teaching us a lot of things. Every character in the Srimad Bhagavatam, not only in Bhagavatam, most of the great Puranas also, is coming to us and telling each character. Can we continue? Okay. So every character in the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us Anvaya Vidregabhyam. Anvaya means either it is telling us, some of the characters are telling us you should become like us, and some of the characters are telling us you should not become like us. So these characters, each one of them is teaching us something. Even if you live in this world, what they are telling us is something very positive. That you will see there, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that after the fourth canto was written, and in the fifth canto when this hellish planet situation was spoken, when Parikshit Maharaj was having continuous difficulty about thinking about these hellish planets, Vedavyasa Maharshi presented through Srimad Bhagavatam what is known as the story of Ajamila. Ajamilo nama Mahisurapura Charan Pado Dharmavada Grihashrami. This Ajamila, who was such a nice person, who got birth in such a nice family and born in a nice cultured family, he fell down. Why did he fall down? Because he had the association Charan Pado Dharmavada Grihashrami Sudrashta Shilam Kuladam Madakulam. Bhagavatam says there that somehow or the other a person's fall down can happen in a second. That he went to the forest to collect the necessary ingredients for performing the sacrifice for his father. When he went to collect the ingredients, Shamida, Dharma, these are the different type of things where they require, he suddenly saw in the forest a person, a lady, who was walking around fully intoxicated with another man who was also equally intoxicated. And they were singing nicely, dancing together and having a very good time in the modern ways to say, that they were enjoying that time. And this Brahmana, Ajamila, saw that. And for a second, he thought in his own mind, I should not think like this, that it is such a nice thing. He was trying very hard to get his mind under control. But it was meant that he was meant to fall. And he could not restrict his mind. So he gave up and felt so shameless and went back to that woman and started asking her if he could associate with her. And that is where the whole story turned in a different direction. That Ajamila took the association of that Brahmana, and from Ajamila, the Brahmana took the association of that prostitute, and from there he fell. Now, at the end of that incident, which we know in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the sixth canto, that particular canto has been given the name as Poshanam. Poshanam means that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, no matter how fallen one is, whatever condition one has fallen down to, if he has taken sincerely shelter of Krishna, he is willing to protect that person. Krishna never asks somebody, what have you been doing till yesterday? He will only ask one question, what are you doing today or what are you going to do in tomorrow? But he is not concerned. What has happened about the past is not a question Krishna has ever asked anybody, that what you have been doing all this time. So in the Bhagavatam you will find there that this question in the sixth canto, Poshanam, the Leela was performed in such a way that at the end Ajamila was given protection. And not only was protection, he has taken him back to the spiritual world. This is Krishna's mercy. So Krishna was showing through this sixth canto that Poshanam, this Leela or the pastimes of Krishna, when Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he could not control his emotions himself. He was so much moved by thinking about the incident of Ajamila that he could not write Srimad Bhagavatam anymore. He was completely unable to write further. And it was that point Narada Muni walked in and he wrote the seventh canto. So many of the great devotees and scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam believe that seventh canto was written by Sri Narada Maharshi himself. Yeah. And if you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the seventh canto, you will not find there anybody else except Sri Narada Vacha. Everywhere you will find Sri Narada Vacha or Prahlada Vacha. Yes. And this is the reason that in the seventh canto we find, and this seventh canto is representing what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam as Udi. Udi means Karmavasana. Karmavasana means our propensities, what has stocked up inside our consciousness. Because going through so many different species of life, we have accumulated certain propensities, and that propensities are lying within. We are not something, like in the world today, the scientists and these psychologists and all, they analyze human life in a different way. Because they do not understand that in the consciousness there is so much stocked from the past life. They cannot accept that. They think that everything is based on one's intelligence and everything is trying to be analyzed through what that person is doing in this world. But from the Vedic viewpoint, that this consciousness which is within the body as in the subtle body exists is such an important factor. The gross body is not so important because gross body dies and goes away. Whereas a subtle body continuously gives birth to another body again and again. So it is a subtle body that has to be one has to care for. So this subtle body which is within us, which does not die away at the time of death, travels with us to another body, generates another body and transfers us from this body to another body, and it continues with all that what is dirt within there. And that is why it becomes necessary to purify that subtle body to the extent that is possible and to allow Krishna to stay there so that one can go back home, back to Godhead. And that is the way it works, that this subtle body, when it is purified totally, it does not have any more this material dirt inside, then it is ready for Krishna to live there. And at that point, our consciousness is pure and we are in a position to serve Krishna without any motivation or without any desire for one's own sense gratification. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this seventh canto is bringing out that greatest devotee, Prahlada Maharaj, there for us to understand that how pure that person was at that age and what a consciousness he had in his early days of life when he was glorifying a person who could bring God out of a pillar. This was the strength of Prahlada Maharaj. Can we say that anybody, so he was such a powerful personality that he could bring Krishna out of a pillar. And that was the strength of Prahlada Maharaj. So Prahlada Maharaj's appearances, Narasimhadeva appearances next week. And Prahlada Maharaj, give us that strength of spiritual life also in the same way. Stop there for any questions or comments, please. No, it's not that. It's what it is that, you see, because our current society today, what we are in, yeah, our way of expressing and understanding is so different from the culture of the Brahminical traditions. The sages and the advanced devotees, they were able to communicate because their thoughts were very identical. Spiritually, they were so elevated that they have least contamination from the material consciousness what we have today. That is why most of the things in the Bhagavadams particularly you will find that they were able to communicate each other and convey the idea without a very elaborate purport. And for us, even after purport, we are not getting there anywhere near. This is the difference in our consciousness. Now, what happened is that Srimad Bhagavatam has been, the verses are remaining the same all the time, there is no change in that. But Srimad Bhagavatam, those devotees who have taken very, very seriously and studied Srimad Bhagavatam, they have written commentaries from their realizations. Particularly, we have got Sri Rajarya's commentary, which is very well known and accepted by all the great acharyas, which is known as Bhavartha Divya. And in Bhavartha Divya and all the other great commentaries of Bhagavatam, there are little bit more explanation on this. That is one thing. Secondly, this Bhagavatam has been studied by scholars and great devotees for last 5,000 years in this planet. And in these 5,000 years, it has been taught by, from one spiritual master to the disciple. And they will convey to him the essence of Bhagavatam so nicely that the disciple who has received it, he will make sure that before he leaves, he hands over what he got from the teacher to another person before he leaves. In that way, Bhagavatam stayed in the heart of the devotees. It didn't stay in the books. It was not written down and given to us for us to buy it in the market and read it like that. Because sometimes it is difficult also to understand Srimad Bhagavatam unless we take shelter of those great souls who have taken Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. And those who have taken Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, you will also find they have found so much in Bhagavatam that we wonder where did all this come from. In the Dromayarad's prayers, there is a very interesting line. And when I read that verse line first time, I could not understand that. Did that line mean all these things? But when I heard from somebody who had studied Srimad Bhagavatam to such an extent, I could understand that that person had absorbed Srimad Bhagavatam so much into his consciousness that he was able to see the Dhruva Maharaj's prayer as though it was happening right in front of him. Vashreva valsagamanu graha kata ramscha. This is the line in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's only one line. Vashreva valsagam anugraha kata ramscha. What it means is that Krishna has been compared to a cow. Now normally we don't compare Krishna to a cow. We will say Krishna is a cowherd boy. We don't say Krishna is a cow. But I asked this person that why is it mentioned like this? Vashreva valsagam anugraha kata ramscha. He said to me that actually it is a relationship with a devotee and Krishna. Krishna is like a mother cow and we are like the calf. Yeah. When the calf, after drinking the milk from the mother, it gets very intoxicated. You can see that often. If you have grown up in the villages, you will know these things. If you have grown up in the city, you won't know any of these things. It's very difficult to make understand also. But if you have grown up in the villages, you will know these things. In the morning, when it's cool, early hours in the morning, after the cows have milk, about 9-10 o'clock, when it gets warmer, the cows comes in front of the house, and the calf is accompanying them. And calf drinks the milk from the cow, as much as because mother gives with plenty what the child, baby wants. And after drinking the milk, the calf is jumping around and running everywhere. But the calf is intoxicated because of the milk, so much milk has gone in. What is the mother thinking at that time? Mother is thinking, where will he go and get into trouble? This is what the mother is thinking. We are like the calf and Krishna is like the cow. This is what the comparison was. Like Krishna, exactly like a mother cow, he is looking at us. And we, having left Krishna, want to do all nonsense in this world, whatever we can, and then go back to him when it suits us. This is our attitude in life. And this is the reality also, that we approach Krishna when we are totally in distress. Otherwise, Krishna, we can stay till the retirement age. We don't need him before that. After retirement and pension, we will go to Krishna. This is our attitude. Yeah. Vashreva valsagam anugraha kataramscham. This is the verse that Krishna simply is looking at us, exactly like a mother cow is looking at the calf to see that how I can protect this baby who has left my association and try to enjoy on its own. So this is a prayer from Dhruva Maharaj, who was only 6 years old when he made this prayer. How could he make that prayer? That was also the mercy of Krishna. When he was touched by the conch shell by Krishna on his forehead, he got that ability to glorify the Supreme Lord. So even to glorify Supreme Lord, we need Krishna's help. What to talk about even worshipping him. So that is how much our understanding of Krishna is. So this is how the Srimad Bhagavatam comes through, that we go on searching after Srimad Bhagavatam. Eventually everything, we get understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, and when you understand, oh, we start thinking, yeah, that is what it meant, isn't it? We come, that realization comes to us, and then you enjoy Bhagavatam much more than what you have thought about it before. So that's that. Yeah, Atma is what we are, the Self, yeah. And the Self is actually totally independent of everything. It is actually a part and parcel of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita says there, Mamaivamsho Jiva Logi Jiva Bhuta Sanatanam. All the living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. And this spirit soul within the body, which is actually free from all upadis or conditions, is part and parcel of Krishna, and it is true nature is also eternal blissful and knowledge, Sachidanandam, as it says in the Shastras. But what's happening is that when the living entity is conditioned by the three modes of material nature, it falls into one of the modes, and then it starts its activities one after the other. And when it acts in a different ways, it acquires different bodies, because attachment develops and then reaction starts, bondage develops, and the living entity has to accept different bodies at different times. Once you accept a gross body, within that gross body, the living entity, the spirit soul, has got the subtle body. And this subtle body is what actually carries the soul from one body to another. And the subtle body has got mind, intelligence, and the false ego, that I am the doer, this thought, which is called the false ego. So these three things constitute the subtle body, and they take the living entity from one body to another. So this is the difference between the subtle body and the gross body, as you know, what you can see, made of these five material elements, bhumi, earth, water, air, ether and fire, which is our five material elements, which makes our material body. So we got the material body, and then we have got our subtle body inside, and then we have the true, what we are, the spirit soul within that. No.
That's not an accurate statement. Vishwanamaji may be in Kama rebellion. Even during his receiving Krishna, when he came for a peace thing, Vishwanama actually received Krishna very well and that's what he had done. You know, so he did realize that. And even during when Krishna became huge, I think Vishwanama was able to take Vaishnava with him as well, which demonstrated that he did it. So I wouldn't say.
More than Bhishma's situation, Bhishma of course have sided with the Kauravas, right? But more than Bhishma, what amazes somebody is, why did Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas have to suffer so much? Kunti Devi, who was such the greatest of all the devotees, take shelter of Krishna from beginning itself. But the life she had to lead along with the Pandavas was so hard for them, hardship for them. And continuously, Duryodhana and the Kauravas never gave them any peace in their life. Vipra, Bhagavatam says there, Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya, that they took shelter of the Brahmanas, they followed the religious principles, they took shelter of Krishna, and in spite of that, all this happened to them. when Bhishma was addressing the Yudhishthira Maharaj at the last moment, he said to them, Sarvam Kalakritam Manye, all this has happened because it is time. And this time, in this big plan of Krishna, what he is going through this world all the time, we cannot fully understand what Krishna's plans are, because Krishna deals with everybody in a different way. To Kauravas, he gave them everything, what they wanted, the wealth. But at the end, what happened? They had to leave this world in such a disgusting manner. And to Pandavas, he didn't give them any of the wealth, what they were looking for. And they were always going through difficulties. But at the end of the life, their life was glorious, because Krishna, they got Krishna with them. And that was their success. So, it is says some great scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam has analyzed this. And their conclusion was that without Krishna, whatever you achieve in this world is simply a zero. Because at the end, it will not help you in any way. Like, exactly like the Duryodhana situation. Whereas for the Pandavas, because they were always in the shelter of Krishna, at the end, they were, although they were great personalities who descended to this world, they were always protected by Krishna in all situations. Now, Bhishma's situation was that Bhishma, although he acted in a way that he had to side with the Kauravas, in his heart he was aware that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there was not one occasion where he acted not as a devotee. That in all instances, if you read Bhishma's prayers to Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will be totally convinced what a nice devotee he was inside his heart. That he said to Krishna that you have fulfilled my... And that is precisely the reason that the critical time in life for anybody, any one of us, is at the time of death, when we leave this body. Today we have no direct relationship with Krishna. We haven't developed that. And today we couldn't say that Krishna will give us that opportunity to directly have the vision of Krishna. But every devotee will like, at the time of leaving the body, that Krishna is present there in front of him. And that's exactly what Krishna fulfilled for Bhishma. That what he wanted, Krishna gave it to him. And in the Bhishma Stuti, Bhishma said to Krishna that on three occasions in the past, you have shown what you are. And Krishna's total opulence and total intelligence and everything in full form manifested in three different occasions. And those three different occasions, Bhishma Pitamaha quoted in his prayers to Krishna. So if you read those prayers, you will be easily able to understand that Bhishma was not an ordinary person like us, who are carried away by the waves of nature, but rather he was a very fixed up person. And his attachment and respect and worship for devotion to Krishna was very much a thing which Krishna always appreciated. And you also, there is another incident in the Bhagavatam, also in Mahabharata, that both Krishna and Bhishma took a vow before the war. Bhishma said, I will make you to take the weapon. And Krishna said, I will take the vow that I will not take the weapon. But in the end, Bhishma won. Krishna took the weapon, and that's what that photograph indicates. Why did he do that? Because Krishna is trying to tell us, my words may go wrong, but my devotee's words will never go wrong. This is what he wanted to prove to this world, that Haririvam Handamivam Gadotariya. And Arjuna followed, chasing Krishna, why have you taken the weapon? And he was chasing him. Krishna didn't care, threw him out from there, and he was, I'll finish this old man right now. This was his attitude at that time. Because blood was oozing out from Arjuna's body everywhere, and he couldn't bear it anymore. So this is the devotee. Krishna does not make a person devotee easily. Krishna gives liberation to people, to a lot of people. And in the Bhagavatam you will find there, Muktim dadahi karhijil smana bhakti yogam. Mukti, liberation is easily given. Lot of people get liberation, but bhakti, he won't give it easily. Because once you give devotion to somebody, then Krishna feels obliged. And he doesn't want that obligation easily. That's the difference. So that's the reason. I think we will... No. Prabhupada knew our limitations. Prabhupada knew our limitations. And Prabhupada also knew that the times have changed. It's not the same time 400 years ago, this world today. Today's world is industrialized. And people have no time to do anything else except to work. Yeah. And knowing very well, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much aware of our problems. And when he presented the Mahamantra to us, all he wanted was we chant the holy name and go back home. And in the Bhagavatam, it will take some time to explain that, because if we have time, I will take about 10 minutes. The reason why chanting of the holy name has become the process of getting rid of this the material body or liberation is also there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That this process was not there before. This was a concession given to us only for some time. It's not that this concession is always there. It's not there. If you look into the creation process in the third canto, you will say there that Lord Brahma at one point decided not to continue creation anymore, because he has asked Krishna that if I continue creating like this, all these living entities whom I create, they continuously getting suffering in this world, and I being their father, I have to experience that, because he is our father, Brahma is our great father. He is experiencing our distress as well, happiness and distress. Krishna said to him, yes, you have to. You can see that in household life, it's the same thing. The father, he is struggling all the time to bring the children up, and the children goes and does something. Happiness or distress, the father is affected by that. So similarly, Brahma was going through the same situation. So in one of the Manandaram, he said to Krishna that I don't want to continue this process anymore of creation. So Krishna advised him, I'll give you a method whereby you can get out of that situation. And that is where Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the four verses of Bhagavatam, was given to Lord Brahma. Brahma took that. This happened long, long ago, much before this Manandaram. That means you can tell millions and millions of years ago this incident happens. And then it continued, and you can see that every day passes on Lord Brahma's day is a very long day, not like our day. And our day is a very short day. But Lord Brahma's day is a very long day. In that long day is over, and one whole night Brahma sleeps. All the living entities goes back into Brahma's body, and they live there the whole night. And when the creation starts again, they come out. So again, those who were created before, they are left out again, released from that sleep, back into another body again. They come out. So this carried on for a very long time. And in the last Manandaram only this happened. Brahma is now 52 years old. He has 100 years life, which you can calculate. Yeah. So in this life, what happened, Brahma's this birth, in this 52 years old, when Brahma had to create again, he went back to Krishna again and said to him that this has become very difficult, because the people are so indifferent that even they are only creating nuisance, they are not interested in Srimad Bhagavatam either. This is the situation, he said. So Krishna said to Brahma, that what do you want then? What do you want to do about it? He said, you write down what you want and bring it to me, I will sign it, he said. This is exactly what Krishna told him. It is in the Bhagavatam, the third canto. It's written in a different language, that's all. But in essence, this is what it meant. So what did Brahma write there? Brahma said like this, that whoever is able to chant your name, at least in this world before he dies, he should be given an opportunity to take another better birth than from what he has got today. Or if he is serious and he uses that holy name and advances in that, he should be allowed to go back to the spiritual world. This was requested by Brahma. Krishna signed the agreement and handed it over. But he said one thing, that this is a concession I am making, because knowing well the condition of the people today, he has made this concession. But doesn't mean that this concession will stay forever. It can be withdrawn. Just like sometimes the government gives us some concession, isn't it? Sometimes they relax some law, and afterwards they bring the old one back again. So it is some sort of situation like that for us today, that we have this concession. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just chant the holy name and you'll be back in the spiritual world. This is the guarantee. So that is what it is. We have to remember that this, we are stretching over a very, very long period of time. And in the past, in the history, if you go back, their consciousness was not like ours. Our consciousness is a very, very, very degraded consciousness. That it is so much on a materialistic consciousness that we cannot even understand what is spiritual life and what is spiritual thoughts are. And it's not only that, if you compare Kridam Treda Dwabaram Kali, the four yugas, the change has not happened overnight. It has happened gradually. It was a gradual degradation. In the Kridayugam, when the people had such a long lifespan, there you didn't have to grow food. Food was automatically growing in the fields. People just went there and took the food and ate it. They didn't even store the food because always food was growing in the land. You didn't have to do any cultivation, harvesting or anything like that. There was always food available in the field. So people had, there was no need to struggle like this today to earn just to chapati's sake. All the struggle, what goes on, was not there. So, not only that, in other aspects also, their consciousness was so developed that they were able to fix their mind so much on spiritual side of life and going back to the spiritual world. Whereas today, we are still doubtful whether is it worthwhile spending time like this. It's so much difference has happened, I'm saying. That this was the consciousness in the Satyayuga, or in the Kridayuga. When it comes to Tridayuga, situation slightly deteriorated. In other words, as they say, 25% of the religious activity came to us. And the result was that we had to grow food. That situation came up. And unless you work in the field, food won't grow. The situation started developing. So like this, it has come to today's stage where you can't even get proper food. It is either GM food or something else what you can buy from the market. Even proper good quality food is not available today. If you really analyze it, that's what you can see. So this degradation has happened over a very, very long period of time. It didn't happen overnight. So once you analyze yourself and your own consciousness with those people who lived in the Kridayugam and their consciousness, you can see how much we have fallen. Only then you can understand how much we have fallen down. But otherwise we will never understand. We will always think, oh, we are okay, I'm doing fine, my consciousness is good. But in reality, we have lost all the spiritual strength. We have lost all the good qualities in us. You see, spiritual culture develops when good qualities develop inside a person. But how much good qualities have we got? Our qualities are not very much admirable today. And as long as this is happening, we can see that our consciousness, unless it develops in a nice way, it is difficult to advance on the spiritual side. And that qualities happens. Krishna has given this assurance that simply by chanting the holy name, those qualities will manifest in every human being. Yeah. It will, yes. Exactly. Yeah. That is, chanting the holy name is the only requirement from Krishna. Yeah, we'll have to show that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Exactly.